OCTalkRadio.net.
Welcome, everybody, to the one show that takes you where others won't. Out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal pilgrim on the 405, Mr. Will Crist.
Well, welcome to Pilgrim Talks with the Pilgrim on the 405. It's amazing to me. It's just amazing how something as simple as a little internet talk radio can spark interest all around the country. We've got some very interesting shows coming up because people have written in and said, hey, I got some great guys here, want to get them on the show, and some great women, and we're going to have some interesting stories coming up. And we have a great story today because in Orange County we have an organization that is truly global in scope, and it works in a very peculiar, particular niche. In fact, some of the people called me today and asked me about ITERIS when they found out that I was going to be interviewing the CEO of ITERIS. They were under the impression that ITERIS is a transportation and logistics company. So we're going to hear from Abbas Mahadas, who's the president and CEO of ITERIS, just exactly what they do here. And it's a fascinating story, a tremendous way of managing his people. And I want to share that with you. I want him to tell us all about that. So, Abbas, welcome to Pilgrim Talks.
Well, thank you, Will, and pleasure to be here, and thanks for having me.
Well, it's wonderful. We've been looking forward to this. Tell us a little bit about what ITERIS does and how you got there.
So, ITERIS is a market leader in providing traffic information management solutions to the intelligent traffic management industry, and that may sound like a mouthful, but it amounts to really empowering travelers in North America and abroad to use the information that is generated by ITERIS for them to make better trip choices, to get from home to work in less travel time, less congestion, less delay, and less stops at intersections. So we have products and services that support these activities.
So you really monitor traffic. Is that be a safe way to talk about what you do?
Yes, and I'll give you an example. So at one level, we are providing detection at the signalized intersection. So, you know, when you go through the intersection, sometimes you might notice that there is a saw cut in the asphalt or concrete, as it may be, and they put in some loops and they create what we call a magnetic field so that the intersection, and by the way, at the intersection there is a processor or what we call a controller, that this information goes to that controller and the controller determines how much green time to give to any direction. What we do is that we are applying technology and we actually have video cameras that we install at strategic locations at a given intersection. As an example, on a traffic signal or on a street light and a traffic signal combination that looks at the stream of traffic and recognize these vehicles and let the controller know. So imagine if we were doing this for an area-wide in a system of many, many intersections, we are really improving the signal timing at these intersections. At another level, we might be helping, let's say, Orange County Transportation Authority in helping them with their transit vehicles to be able to put in systems in place that you could take a look at your handheld, and as you're walking toward the station, it tells you, well, you know, your bus is arriving in 3 minutes or in 10 minutes. You might have time for a cup of coffee. Or we might be helping ports of Los Angeles or Long Beach in projecting how many trucks would be coming in and out of the port over the next 5 to 10 years, and therefore what magnitude of facilities and infrastructure they would be needing to help that. Or we would be helping a traveler that might be calling on 511 to help him or her to say that, well, you know, there's an accident down in 405 and Bristol, and perhaps you could exit earlier on and take an alternative route. So in a nutshell, these are the types of things that ITELUS provides.
You are not just an Orange County company, right?
We are headquartered in Santa Ana, but we operate out of 17 offices in North America, and we also have offices and presence in China, South America, and Middle East.
So I'm fascinated that China and the Middle East would be concerned about traffic.
Oh, of course. You know, when you look at China, I was there just a few months ago, and I was there a few times prior to that. When I make a comparison of, let's say, 10 years ago and today, you look at the intersections in Beijing, you used to see the majority of the travelers using bicycles. It is totally changed now, and we have tremendous amount of vehicles going through the intersection. Some of them actually are experiencing more congestion than we do now, just because the production of the vehicles and the use of those have expanded by far faster than the infrastructure to support them. Same thing with Middle East. Our office happens to be in Abu Dhabi in the United Arab Emirates. So in Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Sharjah, a few other cities, they all have congestion issues. They have many signalized intersections. So they do have, it might be a slightly different type of issue, but the congestion is really a global issue. In addition to, let's say, the top 100 metropolitans in U.S., there are probably a couple hundred metropolitan areas outside of U.S. that experience congestion and try to seek ways to mitigate them.
Wow. Well, so now tell me what kind of technological change has occurred in the past 10 years around traffic management?
Oh, that's an excellent question. So what happened was that two or three other industries influenced the change of technology in traffic management and transportation. One was communication, and one was a computer, and of course now the internet. And I'll start with the communication. So years ago, the way we communicated between the intersections was put in these copper cables that would link one intersection to another. And if you were a sophisticated city, like some of the cities in Orange County, let's say Anaheim as an example, you would bring all of these cables to City Hall, and then you would have a room that you would call it a traffic management center. From that center, you would manage all of these intersections. So you would see some of them through video and primarily through these copper cables that would come in, some of them maybe 4 or 5 inches in diameter, because you would have all of a sudden 75 pairs of wires coming in, 150 pairs coming in to connect all of these, and you would manage it there. So what happened was that the fiber optics came to play, so we were able to get a lot lesser space with a lot more band. Later on, we got into what we call a SONET networks that we really didn't have to get all the intersections connected, followed by wireless. And so now with the internet, we have IP addresses that we could really manage a lot of these. So communication industry really helped us to do a lot more with less apparatus, if you will. From a computer standpoint, I remember that I started my first job in 1983. I was a traffic engineer working for City of Dallas. At the time, Federal Highway Administration, which is an organization of the U.S. Department of Transportation, they were funding significant traffic control systems, and these were computerized traffic control systems. They would pay for 95% of it, and local agencies would match for 5%. Again, Anaheim was one of the cities, as an example, that received one of those. Los Angeles got it. In Southern California, maybe we had about half a dozen that received that. So you would put in a computer apparatus in a very large room, and then you had the monitors. You were looking at all of these intersections, and you were able to manage it, reduce the green from one direction to another, and bring them all together. All of that now could be done on a laptop, basically. In fact, one of the things that we do, we could do virtual management. You could have a traffic engineer at his or her home and just use her laptop to dial in and manage early in the morning at 6 a.m. when we have traffic flowing, rather than coming in and physically being in a management center. The magnitude of the processing has changed quite a bit with what we used to have. So now we'll be able to bring in a streaming video, massive amount of data, all through wireless or IP, and be able to manage traffic. So a tremendous amount of change has been made. One other major element that I should say, Will, is that the amount of data that is available today, we could use that to do a much better job of management. 10 years ago, all we had was really some loops and data coming in. And nowadays, in addition to that, we have companies that actually have probes via GPS and cell phone, that if we get even 3 to 5% of the vehicles instrumented with that, we could get a feel as to what the level of congestion is. We could bring that data, we could bring the police data, all of that, and fuse it and be able to make some sense out of this data and provide it to the end users in real time, in a reliable fashion, to tell them that, hey, you could really use this information to do a better trip choice, to maybe leave a little bit earlier or later. Information to empower the end users really is perhaps the significant change that has taken place over the last 10 years, particularly in the last 2 or 3 years.
So you're providing the infrastructure to collect that data and then put it in the management for managers. Do you have a connection? Do you supply data to end users?
Yes, we do. Much of that goes through the public agencies, that they provide that data to the end users. Example that I was mentioning is that even in Orange County, if you dial 511, a lot of that data is from companies like ours and from public agencies, other private agencies, that these are all fused together, that end user could utilize it at the moment for free, and to be able to actually go to internet and use it, or via 511 telephone call to get that information.
I've been very fascinated with using maps on my iPhone in driving. I can ask it to show me the traffic. And I am amazed at two things. One, how accurate it is. And number two, how quickly it changes to match the actual traffic conditions.
Exactly. And that has been just happening the last couple of years or so, that we now have the power of processing a lot of accurate and reliable information, and then to be able to fuse it and analyze it and make actionable information, if you will, for you to be able to take a look at that and use that.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Where do you see it going next?
In my view, the next step on this traveler information is going to be personalized information, so that when you leave your house and you turn the engine on, it would say that, well, are you going to work today? Yes. Assuming that you're taking your normal route, everything is fine. But 10 minutes later, the voice comes up and says that, you know, Will, there is an accident on your route. We suggest to take your other alternative. Now, this is alternatives that you previously have put in your system, so that the system now knows what the alternatives and your desires are. So it looks at all of your alternatives and informs you that this is perhaps where you want to go. And by the way, it seems like that you have the extra 10 minutes. Here is a coffee shop, your favorite coffee shop in here that you could stop. And do you want me to call work and tell them that you're running 15 minutes late and let them know that, you know, that's the schedule? Oh, you want me to check your stop for you, by the way, while you're doing that? This is very disheaded. A lot of fun.
Amazing. Amazing. That is just amazing. Well, now, Abbas, you described for me a marvelous way of managing your team, a very efficient and effective way. Tell us a little bit of that. I think you called it the game of business, didn't you?
excellent memory. So about 10 years ago or so, I read a book that was called The Great Game of Business, or what we internally call it GGOB. This book was talking about a situation in Missouri, a manufacturing plant that was about to go out of business. The management decided to buy the business, and they turned it around. And what they did was every single person that was in that manufacturing plant had a specific objective, had a goal, had a numerical goal of what in that day or the week or the month what he or she was supposed to do. And so we went and visited that, and it was a 2-3 days of a seminar. And it resonated with me that although we are not a manufacturing organization, but the fundamentals of that could be used at Iteris, being a software-based information company. What we did, and it took us a couple of quarters to really customize it for our use. So what we do is that every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m., the senior management gets together, and this is, let's say, about 15 of us or so. And within half an hour, we go around, and each manager or a leader, we put the numbers up. So there is a line that says sales goal, and it has about 10 to 15 other parameters. For example, sales and marketing, it has G&A, it has R&D, it has various expenditures that we have the goal for the quarter, the goal for the month, and then it has opinion of each manager of how and how much we're going to be doing in that month and then the quarter. And then we talk about it. If there are issues, we discuss it. And then, of course, some of the issues, I might have to discuss it afterwards with the folks. But within half an hour, 45 minutes, we all get a good feel as to how we are doing with our business. So that's in a nutshell what happens at that meeting. And we do it religiously every week. And then at the end of the quarter, we put in the actuals. Of course, at the end of each month, the actuals go in there, and then we make a comparison how close we were in our opinion to the actuals. And we use that as a nice monitoring process of how we are doing. And, of course, there's a various layers of support activities that go behind us. But this is a chance for us in a short duration to get a good feel about the health of the organization.
So what has been the effect of having that kind of meeting every week?
Several things. Perhaps I could highlight two or three of the things. For one, it's really a nice bonding between the managers, knowing that, hey, there is a forum in here that I could come in, provide my opinion. If there are any specific issues, I could bring it up, and my peers could help, other managers could help, CEO could help. I typically ask various questions, and those questions generate sometimes additional questions and activities that would help us to sort of do what we need to do for the following week. The next thing is that accountability. When people come into that meeting, they are prepared. So their opinion is really their professional judgment based on the data, based on what has taken place, what the market dynamic is, based on what the, let's say, the sales force, what they have done. So there's a tremendous amount of information that they have that they could form that opinion. I think it encourages them that to do things a little bit proactive. There is one thing now with real-time dashboard information that we get. There is another thing to be able to proactively provide your feeling and opinion as to what that number is going to end up in a week or two or three or for the end of the quarter, for that matter. So that accountability and power of predictability, I think, is something that really helps the managers to think forward and to be able to see at times around the corner that otherwise is not easily doable.
When you adopted this, the ideas in the book of The Great Game of Business, that a lot of that has to do with open management, right? I mean, transparency to the employees. Do you have that kind of open book style in the company?
Very much. In fact, I'm glad you brought that up. They really go hand in hand. You have to have that transparency and open book management to be able to share that with that group, to be able to be honest about it. That's the only way that we could help each other. Because every week there is some issue or matter that somebody needs help, and it could be somebody else next week. The truth of the operations, I always felt, is so important. That transparency helps that communication flow with everybody, that it is okay whether the news is good or bad. We all share that with each other, and we all help each other to make a continuous improvement. So that's the other piece that we have to this. We call it operational excellence. In other words, our goal is that no matter what we do at any given day, we want to try to do our best in efficiency in our decision-making process to continually improve the process. Because that process is never finished, because the business is a dynamic process, and that's how it could be resolved by talking about it, discussing it, and improve it constantly.
How many employees in the whole company are there?
We are a small company, 270 people.
Would you say that the majority of those people know about what's going on, that they know about the financial posture of the company, they're familiar with the projects and the processes, obstacles and successes?
Yes, and I would hope that everyone knows about the process. Not everybody is directly involved. But there is one other activity that we do, Will, that really helps the entire company. So at the end of the quarter, when we do our announcement, a town hall meeting with all the staff, and that's typically a half hour, 45 minutes, I provide commentary, I talk about how it happened, what the different groups do. So providing the highlights of the detailed financials for the entire staff. And of course, we typically at that meeting take an advantage of the opportunity to acknowledge some people, and we call them the associates of the month, to recognize some people that have done above and beyond the normal course of duty, and we give them a plaque and an award and all of that. So at that meeting, we describe it a little bit more in detail. I also have another communication tool. We call it the journey. So this is every few weeks or so, I would send a note, and this is online, the internal website of Iteris, sharing some thoughts. At times, those are some information that we have discussed at the GGOB meeting or other thoughts that I like to share with the staff.
Good. Well, listen, Abbas, can you stick around after the break we have here? Because I want to talk to you about how you go to market.
Absolutely. I'll be delighted.
Look forward to it. Let's take a break here and hear from our sponsors.
Do you recognize them in your office? It's a common problem for executives and employees everywhere. There's John, over there. He just seems to have his own vision. Unfortunately for you, it's not your company's vision. Then there's Mary, who always seems to fall short of what's expected. You've got people that need to turn it up a notch if you're ever going to hit your goals. The never-ending cost of losing people and having to train the rookies. You constantly worry about losing key people you have become too dependent on. Extended Disc is designed for business owners, executives, and employees just like you. Extended Disc provides you with information to make better business decisions with confidence. Extended Disc helps you and your organization to be more profitable by avoiding decisions that result in expensive mistakes, wasted resources, and time. You see the problem. Extended Disc, the solutions you need to push performance and growth. It's time you made a call to Extended Disc for the solutions you need. Extended Disc, toll free, 1-800-257-7481. Or go to www.extendeddisc.com.
Most sales training programs involve a 1 or 2 day seminar where some alleged expert gives what he claims are the secrets to sales. At Sandler Training, we know sales is a hard business. That's why we employ continual reinforcement with ongoing training and individual coaching to ensure your success. And with over 200 training centers worldwide, you won't fail, because we won't let you. Sandler Training, finding power in reinforcement.
And now back to Will and his guest.
Well, so Abbas, we've been interviewing Abbas Mahadas, the CEO of Iteris, a global company specializing in traffic management, wonderful things, but also some of the key issues around the conversation today are a very efficient and effective way of managing. And now I want to move a little, if we could, Abbas, to how you go to market and how this great game of business affects how you go to market, because you're going to market globally. Is that right?
Yes. So in the service side of our business, we have about 180 consultants, if you will, and these are traffic engineers, software engineers, scientists, computer folks, economists, and the like. We operate out of 17 offices, and this is direct relationship with our clients and customers that are typically local agency, county, state agency, and sometimes federal government. And so the way we go to market is that we respond to a request for proposal from these agencies, and then we prepare a proposal, we submit it. Typically, they narrow down these proposals to a handful. They conduct an interview. We go to interview, and we get selected for the job. For the product side of the house, this is primarily sensors. We go direct in three of the states in U.S., namely California, Texas, and Florida. We have our own staff that work with the contractors that they have to bid projects that, again, local agencies or state agencies would be sending out. Example would be City of Anaheim might have 5 intersections that they're upgrading, and a contractor would bid on it, and this contractor might be furnishing traffic signals, a controller, and maybe some communication, and of course some detection. We would be providing our detection equipment to the contractor, and if they are selected and win the bid, they would go and install it. For the remaining part of the U.S. and North America, we go through about a dozen distribution channels. These are companies that are well established in key markets, and they are the ones that directly work with the contractors. So we would provide and furnish our equipment to them, and they go and sell that to the contractor. Outside of U.S., we also have distribution channels, and these channels are in Europe, in Asia, Middle East, South America. Those distributors are very familiar with the local settings and are familiar with the projects that are coming out, so we would be furnishing our equipment to them. That's, in a nutshell, how we go to market.
When you have such a large market, not a large company with 200 people, but you have a large market to service, how do you manage all of that?
So we have various tools. Example of that would be Salesforce.com. We use various tools that we set up in Oracle, our system. We have different groups that focus on that. In a way of a product, for example, we have three regions that the regional managers, through the tools that they use, keep track of all of this. They share with them. We have databases that we look at. We have quite a bit of communication about those on weekly basis, in some cases on daily basis. And these tools are quite helpful, that anyone, no matter where they are, could be dialing in and really getting the kind of information that they need. And of course, this is significantly supported by massive amount of collaterals and specifications, write-ups. Of course, we do quite a bit of advertising. It's an entire food chain that really helps us to manage this.
I presume that you use a lot of video conferencing with things like GoToMeeting and that sort.
We do. In fact, GoToMeeting is one of our comfort zones when it comes to sharing a lot of information, technical and otherwise. I use that personally quite a bit, at least a few times a week. It is such a useful tool. It is very helpful. You know, at times you have to have those face-to-face meetings and nothing replaces them. A tool like GoToMeeting, you could really reduce a lot of your cost by really looking at your monitor and knowing that half a dozen other people in different parts of the country or globe could also see that and discuss it and have really a meaningful meeting.
When you manage such a large group of people, I mean, it's a great distance around the country, around the globe, really, all the way from China through the United States, South America, and into the Middle East. Do you find that your travel budget is increasing or is it decreasing?
Well, it is increasing primarily because we are focusing more on international as of a couple of years ago. That is one of the initiatives that we have to grow our business. But what we try to do is to do that as efficient as possible, to get the tickets in advance to the extent possible, and also, you know, do the trips when they are necessary. So we have some policies and procedures around that to make sure that we conduct it effectively.
I understand that sales have been increasing and your market share has been increasing. Is that right?
Yes. And that was, of course, by design. You know, what happened was that 2-3 years ago when the economy slowed down a little bit, we consciously decided to go on the offensive, if you will. Along those lines, we actually expanded our R&D budget and we expanded our sales and marketing budget. We were quite fortunate to be able to offer to the market 5-6 major products just this last couple of years. We are benefiting from that. In fact, this last couple of quarters, we have had 25-30% of our sales from really the products that we have offered to market just the last 18 months or a couple of years. We also decided that it is important for us to add more intellectual property to our toolbox. And so this last year and a half, we have acquired two companies. One is called Meridian, about 60 people, that they were focused on a decision support system and travel information that are helping us quite a bit. Another one called Berkeley Transportation Systems in Northern California, that they have been pioneers in performance measurement. And this is a very exciting area that we established about a year and a half ago. Imagine when you look at the congestion, you really want to know how well you are doing compared to, let's say, a day ago, a week ago, or a month or two ago. So we are establishing a normality. What is normal? You know, congestion on 405, you could define it normality in one way, and in another freeway, it is a little bit different. And so we have developed software that helps a lot of the agencies to determine how well they are doing, how well they are performing. So this was part of the growth initiatives that we have had, quite a bit organic. At the same time, we believe that acquisition also helps us to continue experiencing growth.
As you develop these new products, what I found interesting is that you have a philosophy similar to Howard Schultz at Starbucks and also Steve West at Project Insight. You do all of your manufacturing in the United States, right?
Yes, we do. You know, this is one of those situations. By the way, those guys are my heroes. When we look at the magnitude of apparatus that we need, all the boards and all the manufacturing support, we were debating whether we should go offshore or keep it here in U.S. And, of course, you always have this dilemma of which one is cost-effective. We also looked at it at a couple of other angles, too. For one thing, for our size and magnitude of what we are looking at, we really like to have a close eye and a much higher level of quality control on the products that we are selling to our customers. So if it has our name on it and we are responsible for it, we better have a much higher accountability as to where it is built and who is building it. And so it was quite comfortable for us to keep it in U.S. In fact, I am very happy to inform you that it is 100% in California. So, you know, of course, you could get, you know, emotional about this, as I do, that this keeps the jobs here in this wonderful state, and we could do it all, and we could actually make money doing it. So I'm very happy about it, and I get excited about it even when I talk about it.
It really does cut to the heart of the matter about values, doesn't it? If the dollar, the bottom line, becomes more important than the quality of life that we're creating for the future, then we are in real trouble. On the other hand, if we are looking at how we use business to help people build their own personal wealth and ownership mentality, if we use business to help create a better culture by taking a look at how your manufacturers go into the economy, I mean, that's what Henry Ford did when he started off. I think he said something like, I've got to have a lot of employees buy a car, so I have to raise their wages.
Well said. You know, I couldn't agree more with that statement and that overall sentiment. It just seems to me, you know, you want to build your business around the value of your employees, and the overarching objective is really to do the right thing, to produce the right type of products and the highest amount of quality. If you do the right thing, there is no doubt in my mind that you'll be successful and you also make a lot of money, not the other way around. And I think, unfortunately, this is one of the shortcomings that I sometimes see with some organizations that, you know, they focus on the former and sometimes you lose sight of the latter.
The fellows and I who were talking about how we can go about highlighting companies like yours that are focusing, you know, they have a variety of focuses that they're using, and certainly one of them is always, are we making money? And, you know, we're looking at that, and then also looking at companies that are helping to focus on how do we build up our employees, how do we help them move forward. And so we want to highlight that, because there's sometimes business gets such a bad rap. I mean, and the narrative about business is negative, which I think it's counterproductive, because it doesn't bring bright people into business. They go in a different direction.
Excellent point. I mean, we have it in our manual, as a matter of fact, that our most important assets go home at the end of the day and come back to work in the morning. If we lose sight of that, in my mind, there is nothing left.
When you mentioned that you can make money by paying attention to the quality of your product, to where it's being manufactured and how it's distributed, and the quality of the relationships in your company, tell us a little bit about how you've been financing these acquisitions. It hasn't been through debt, has it?
No, and in fact, you know, we are a public company, and we have announced what I'm about to tell you. 4 years ago, we had very little cash and maybe about $8 million worth of debt. Today, we have hardly any debt and over $20 million worth of cash. We have been profitable 20 consecutive quarters. I really owe that to every single associate at Iteris, that they have been dedicating their time and energy and making this really happen. So along those lines that you indicated, one other extremely important element is to hire good people. I always felt that, you know, a company is like a Broadway stage, if you will, and a manager's role is to really hire these superstars and bring them in and let them shine at that stage and get out of their way. So if we are able to do that and bring good people, they do wonderful stuff. So So our role is to really provide the proper benefit, and it all comes together. So that's kind of my view on that particular issue.
Yeah, it really does make a big difference when people, if people come with the idea that management's job is to make more sales or to get people to do what they wouldn't otherwise do or hold people accountable for management's goals. It's astounding the kind of change that happens when they begin to realize to put into play the belief that management's role is to help their people be the best they can possibly be, help them accomplish their personal goals as well as the company goals, and to hold them accountable for the goals that the employee said they wanted to accomplish. It's amazing the difference that occurs and the kind of energy that's freed up in creativity and innovation.
Very well said, very well said.
You know, it sounds to me like Iteris, if we're just to list this interview, Iteris is this wonderful company. There've got to be some issues that you're working on right now that are part of the company struggle, some mountains that you're climbing. Tell us a little bit about what you see in the future for Iteris and how you're working on that.
Sure. Our main focus, Will, is accelerating our growth. Of course, not only being a public company and shareholders always like to see growth, but also our industry is changing. We are at a tipping point of key areas in our industry that are expanding, that are growing, and we want to be in forefront of all of these activities and enjoy that growth. So the challenge is really doing all the right things, whether it is research and development, whether it is sales and marketing, or really acquiring the companies that have the proper intellectual property that would help us really achieve this objectives of accelerated growth. That is most of what I spend my time, how and what instruments do we use to really do that. And, of course, that's challenging because, in one hand, you have your day-to-day operation to do, but you really need to focus on strategic activities. Where is the market going? What are we going to be doing a year from now or 3 years from now or 5 years from now? And where are the areas that we need to focus upon? So those are the challenges. And we like to think at Iteris that we are in forefront of our market and lead the industry and offer the most advanced and the easy to use products and services to our customers and clients to be able to achieve that growth.
And all the time that you're doing this, we haven't mentioned one thing I think is pretty significant. The management of traffic that you guys help with reduces the amount of fuel by a significant amount that people are using, doesn't it?
It really does, and I'm glad you mentioned that. So when you reduce congestion, it reduces fuel, it reduces stops and delays and travel time, so you could get home earlier and spend the time with the family a little bit more. And it also is good for the environment in a way that you reduce the carbon monoxide and other air pollutants when you spend less time in traffic. All around, it's really a good thing. And, you know, I also, if you permit me, want to reflect on another question that you earlier asked about, you know, what has changed in the last 10 years. Well, congestion has got quite a bit worse to a point that many of our politicians are really running on a congestion mitigation platform when they run for their office, you know, whether it is mayor of L.A. or a governor or what have you. It is now traffic congestion is number one or number two on the platform in many of the large metropolitan areas in the country. So it is one of those areas that it is not going to go away, and we need to find a way to continue reducing congestion and better management of traffic.
What are the obstacles to implementing traffic management? Is it money? Is it time? Is it focus? Is it competition, you know, with other political objectives. What would you say the one or two major obstacles to implementing this in various cities?
Excellent question, Will, in here. And there is a combination of things, but if I was to highlight just a couple of things in here, I'll just use a conversation I had with one of my colleagues, a European colleague, and I was asking him that, how do you manage to have such a wonderful transportation system? So he said, the way we do it in here, the policies in traffic management take place from one generation to the other. All the politicians, regardless of their party affiliation, really line up because they realize that this is all about infrastructure, this is all about artery of economy, and they do it. In U.S., unfortunately, in many cases, transportation policies go from one administration to the other, despite the fact that these are really nonpartisan issues. When you think of traffic and transportation, regardless of your political affiliation, this is good for economy. It is a necessity and artery of economy to have a good and proper infrastructure. So political issues definitely play a major role. And of course, having adequate funding is always an issue. There is also a competition, Will. So there are many studies that suggest that, for every dollar that you invest in a capacity enhancement project, let's say expansion of a freeway or an arterial, you typically get back about $1.50 or $2, in a way of a business sense, if you will. But when you invest in traffic management, in other words, just manage what you have, every dollar that you put in, more likely you could get back $7 or $8 back. So when times are tough and you're a good businessman, how would you invest your money? This is something that needs to be articulated properly and communicated properly, not just to the politicians, but to folks like the listeners and your folks that are listening to this wonderful show, that they really get behind this issue, that when you go to your city council, support the project that is mitigating congestion, because it is good for all of us, it is good for the economy.
Sounds to me like your salespeople are doing a lot more than just selling your products and services, that they're also doing some very good things for the environment, for business in general, for the economy, and for just the emotional composure of drivers.
Absolutely.
Well, listen, thank you so much for being with us, and I look forward to talking with you again very very quickly to see what we can do to help. You had the microphone for a minute. What would you tell fellow businessmen in Orange County and in America about what we need to be doing in business to move forward?
I would say that let's keep hiring people. Let's be a strong and positive. This is US of A. It's a wonderful country. The best is yet to come. Invest in people, invest in equipment, innovate, offer services and technologies that takes us to the next level and keep us competitive for many, many years to come. I would always suggest that keep your staff and employees as really your number one assets. You get the right ones, everything else goes from there.
Thank you so much. Now, if someone wanted to continue this conversation with you, how would they get in touch with you, Abbas?
They could go to iteris.com, iteris.com. Send me a message. I'll be delighted to respond.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I look forward to talking with you soon.
Thank you very much for having me. This was a wonderful conversation.
Well, another wonderful CEO in Orange County, having a global impact on all sorts of wonderful things all around, doing a very good job in Iteris's niche, which is traffic management. But look at all the things that cascade from that in terms of environmental improvement. Goodness, I know from some of the people that I drive with, dealing with traffic congestion raised the emotional quality of their life tremendously, to say nothing of business productivity and reduction in consumption of fuel. So my hat is off to Aitiris and Vadas Mahadas for the great, wonderful work that they're doing over there. There we have it, another Wednesday afternoon with Pilgrim Talks with the Pilgrim on the 405. If you have an idea about somebody that we could interview, don't hesitate to give me a call. It's 949-355-6013 or email me, a very difficult email address, willchrist@willchrist.com. And I look forward to many more conversations here on octalkradio.net.
You've been with the one show that takes you where others won't, out into the wilderness, past the frontiers of what you thought was possible, with your own personal pilgrim on the 405.